Hello everyone, welcome back to Presenting Pixie Dust. I'm Elizabeth Carr.
And I'm Brett Harvey.
And it's season three!
Yay!
Yay! We're back! It's been a while in between drinks. We've had a lot happening, a lot going on.
Do you know what?
Tell me.
You were like 2 seconds in and you already made a mistake.
What?
You said Elizabeth Carr.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, why is that not true? Did you forget something, dear?
No, I didn't forget anything.
So last year was a big year for us.
Well, the listeners, and if you're a long-time listener of the show, you know that we got married last year.
And so now you're Elizabeth
I suppose I am
Harvey.
Elizabeth Harvey. I suppose I am. But
you're so used to saying Elizabeth
Carr. I'm so used to saying it.
That's your stage name.
That's my stage name. That's it.
Your Hollywood name.
I'm Elizabeth Carr. That's my name.
So anyway, moving on. It has been a while since we sat down to do this because the end of last year was hectic.
Very much so.
The whole year, actually.
Yeah.
So we moved houses.
Yep. We bought a house.
Yeah, bought a house.
So we're in our new podcasting studio today that we've only just set up.
Yeah. So it's like the third bedroom decked out in recording gear.
Yep.
And we've got a new logo up on the screen.
We do. We have a new logo. If you haven't seen it yet, head to our Instagram or our Facebook page and check it out. Designed by my wonderful sister, Emily. Shout out to Emmy.
Yeah. And it looks great. And we've got little Buddy in the background there. He's having a snooze. And we've also...
Buddy's our dog, by the
way. Buddy's our dog. I think we've mentioned Buddy a few times.
Probably.
Because he often snores while we're trying to record, but we've also got another very special surprise for our listeners, our followers.
Mm-hmm.
We had a beautiful baby boy called Christian.
About a month ago.
Delivered about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we are absolutely super stoked about that. But as you can imagine, short on sleep.
And short on time.
So, hence why we haven't recorded any episodes lately.
But the baby is asleep, hopefully for the next 45 minutes, and we're good to go, I think.
I've got the baby monitor on and we're keeping an eye on him.
Are we ready to go?
I reckon we are.
I'm so out of practice. I don't even know how to start.
Got to get into the swing of
it. That's it. So for our first episode of 2022 for season three, if you are following us on Facebook or Instagram, you'll have seen clues posted as to the topic of our episode today. And we are looking at another classic, another absolute classic, Tarzan.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we are back with the yayas, aren't we? We are back.
Yep.
I haven't heard a yaya in about 6 months. How wonderful. So we're going to get straight into it, do you reckon? Just onto some fun facts. Into have you missed the fun facts?
I have.
I'm sure you have.
Yep.
Okay, so this movie premiered on the 12th of June, 1999 at the El Capitan Theatre in Hollywood, California,
which we have mentioned.
Yeah. We have mentioned before that is the sort of Disney's home for premieres, and it's like it's their theater.
Yep.
So if you go there, if you happen to find yourself on Hollywood Boulevard, there is like a little studio store there, and it's a, you know, it's a working theater, it's a working cinema.
And so we're talking 1999, right?
Yep,
so we're
99.
Talking what, 22, 23 years ago.
Oh, don't say that. That's going to make me vomit. That's horrible.
Make you feel old?
It does, because in my head it was like 10 years ago. And that just makes me feel so old.
Mm.
How old were you in 1999?
Oh, I was 19.
19?
Yeah, just going to uni.
Wow.
Yep, having fun,
cool.
Drinking beers.
Yep. I was in year 7 in 1999.
Look, you know,
I just started high school.
Back then I wouldn't have called myself a Disney fan.
I've indoctrinated you into the cult.
It's an age and stage thing, I think.
Absolutely.
I know that my good friend, Daniel Lloyderton, who lives all the way over in sunny old England, he is a massive fan of Disney Pixar.
Really? We should get him on the show. Does he listen?
And I remember
visiting
him.
Shout out to Daniel.
Yeah. I remember visiting him about 10 years ago, and he had all of the movies, you know, all the Disney movies on DVDs.
That's
and,
cool.
And... And I sat there and watched them.
All of them? Every single one?
Not all of them. Yeah, and it sort of sparked me. I went, oh, yeah, this stuff is really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for kids. You know, like it's not just for kids.
It's definitely family entertainment. Yeah. It's stuff that everybody can enjoy. And this movie in particular is really dark.
Yeah.
In some moments.
Oh, dramatic.
Like it's really
and dark
full on.
And
it's, oh, Crazy. All right, let's keep going.
Yep.
Has a runtime of 88 minutes, which I love because I think a short movie is a good movie. Like if it goes over 90 minutes, it starts to feel long in my mind. But 88 minutes is like right at that sweet spot.
Do you think they had a sequel in mind when they did the
first
one?
I'm sure that there is a sequel.
Let's not do a long one because we'll just do a sequel.
Yeah, maybe. Well, in the late 90s, that was the time for Disney sequels.
Mm.
They were all coming out then, direct to video.
Yeah.
Direct to VHS. It has a current rating of 7.3 on IMDb and 89% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Really?
So it's rated quite well,
it's
I suppose.
Up there.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so fun fact number one, Tarzan is the 37th Disney animated feature film.
Wow.
And if you think that, like, this is 99, so this is 20-something years ago, 23 years ago, 22 and a half, and we just hit the 60th animated movie with Encanto. That just came out.
Yeah.
And that was a big deal because that's 60. That's a nice big round number. But this was 37, so it took them, you know, 50-odd years to make 37 movies, and then they've just really smashed them out in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Like the next.
They've done what, about one per year?
Oh, absolutely. Sometimes more.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is the 10th and last movie released during the Disney Renaissance era. So it's based on the 1912 story Tarzan of the Apes by Edgar Rice Burroughs, and it is the first animated major motion picture version of the story.
Mm.
So, of course, there have been Tarzan movies for. Since the book came out, it's such a popular piece of literature, but this was the first animated version.
Yeah. Can you just fill in the listeners about what the concept of the Renaissance period is?
Yeah, absolutely. So in the late 80s and early 90s, it was a time when Disney started producing critically acclaimed works again. That was, post a real lull in the company, and the company wasn't doing well financially, and it was making most of its money from the parks and from the old, very popular movies of like the 40s.
All the originals.
The 40s and the 50s. And then it started producing critically acclaimed works, and it started with The Little Mermaid in 1989. And then, you know, we had Beauty and the Beast and Aladdin, The Lion King, all of those huge movies that really brought the company back into the forefront of everyone's
animation
in everyone's
and
mind.
Storytelling.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then this was the last movie of that period.
Yep.
So it was a 10 movie series, and this was the last movie of that period.
And I think there was certainly, you know, they brought themselves back to the cutting edge of technology and in animation.
They started working
during that period.
They started working with Pixar too during this time.
Yeah.
Toy Story came out in the 90s, which is bizarre to think about because it feels like such a recent movie. And we have done an episode on Toy Story. I don't remember which number it was, but you can go back and listen to it and we talk all about that one. All right, you ready for fun fact number two?
Yeah.
As lions are not found in jungles, Sabaw was changed from a lion. So he's a lion in the book. And he was changed from a lion to a leopard for this movie, which is the real apex predator of the jungle area depicted in the film.
There you go.
Yeah.
They did their research.
They've done the research. They absolutely have. All right. Fun fact number three. This is a long one, so just bear with me. This is about our mate Phil. Arguably the star of this movie.
Ditto, like I've written, like I reckon on every page of my notes, it says, Phil Collins sings. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Phil Collins sings.
Phil Collins sings, that's it. But actually, Phil Collins had to be convinced that he was the music man to drum up the songs for Tarzan.
Yeah.
So for the film's score, the directors decided to emphasize percussion as a way to distinguish their jungle set film from the choral sounds of The Lion King of 1994. And if you think about it, they are both, you know, movies with animals, movies set in jungle sort of places. So to really separate them. Feeling that the percussion-driven music of Phil Collins was a perfect fit, the directors and a Disney executive music producer flew to Switzerland. Don't know what he was doing in Switzerland, but sure, to persuade the reluctant Collins to sign on.
Is that like, neutral ground or something?
Maybe. It is Switzerland, isn't it?
Yeah.
The singer-songwriter-drummer was apprehensive about writing storytelling songs because he'd never done that before, needed for a Disney musical. However, once the filmmakers assured him that they wanted the Collins touch, he agreed to try. Finding Burroughs' book an inspiration, Collins began writing almost immediately, and soon he had composed loads and loads of music, including three songs heard in the final film, which were Son of Man, Trash in the Camp, and Strangers Like Me.
Wow.
You'll Be in My Heart was written during Christmas dinner at a neighbour's house, where the composer scribbled the chords and melody on a piece of wrapping paper. You'll Be In My Heart won the Academy Award for Best Song that year, while the Tarzan original soundtrack recording was awarded a Grammy as Best Soundtrack Album. And you know what? Phil Collins did not have to go that hard for us, but he did that.
Yeah.
He did. Because every single song in this movie is magnificent.
Mm.
It's so good. Every single one. It's amazing.
When was the Lion King released?
94.
So yeah. I guess as a musician, he would have seen what Elton John had achieved.
Yeah.
You know, because you go, professionally, is it going to be good for me? Or is it going to be like one of those things where people just laugh at me or I lose credibility as an artist?
Well, you've got to do a good job.
you know, Elton did a brilliant job.
Of course.
And so, you know, I could see that, Phil's gone, well, if Elton can do it.
Well, we did talk about when we did our episode on Emperor's New Groove that they had Sting pegged to write all the music for that. And then they changed the storyline and poor Sting got shafted.
But then
it turned out not to be a musical after all, the Emperor's New Groove, so it didn't really matter. And, you know, since then we've had composers come on, like Lin-Manuel Miranda, who wrote the music for Moana, and then more recently Encanto, who have, you know, come on to be the composers for an entire movie, which is quite
cool.
And
when you're talking musical movies, that's a crucial thing that you've got to, you know, nut out is who's going to create this music.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so fun fact number 4. The Disney animators hired a professor of anatomy to consult with them about Tarzan's musculature.
Really?
Yeah, he superimposed the correct types of muscles over their drawings to help show them how to depict a man at the peak of his physical prowess.
There you go.
And isn't Tarzan at the peak of his physical prowess?
Well, I always think Brendan Fraser from George of the Jungle.
Also the peak of physical prowess in that movie. That's a good one. And that's based on Tarzan, of course, isn't it? Yeah. And is that a Disney movie, George of the Jungle? I'm sure it is.
No, we're going to have to do the research on that one. I'll tell you what, if it is, we're going to have to watch it.
Absolutely. And, we'll have to do an episode on that. All right, fun fact number 5. To see how Tarzan's body would move while sliding down a log, the animators based his movement on that of pro skateboarder Tony Hawk on his skateboard.
Wow.
Because he does have that really cool way of sliding down the tree branches. Instead of just swinging, he slides down them too, which is quite cool. Fun fact number 6. The signature Tarzan yell is provided by Brian Blessed, who is the voice of this movie's villain, Clayton. Because after noticing that Tony Goldwyn, who is the voice of Tarzan, could not make a convincing scream, Blessed went to one of the producers to tell them that he could do it. And the producer refused at first, but after he yelled in front of them, he accepted without hesitation. So it's Clayton's voice that does the Tarzan yell.
Can you do the Tarzan yell?
Absolutely not.
Like, sort of thing.
Yeah, that sounded like an opera singer.
La, la, la.
Absolutely. That's exactly how it is. Fun fact number 7. Most of this movie takes place in 1911, as evidenced by the viewing of Halley's Comet.
Yeah.
The original shipwreck happened in 1888 in the books.
There you go.
I thought that was a nice little fact. And finally, according to the DVD commentary, Clayton's outfit was designed to appear like Sabor's yellow fur to designate him as the new villain. When he's introduced, he's covered in shadows that give him the look of spots, similar to Sabor. And those are my fun facts. Disney misses nothing, do they? Nothing. There's no accidents.
Wow. That's why they're award-winning.
That's it. That's why they're award-winning.
Because they do the research.
All right. We're going to jump in?
Yeah.
Fantastic. So what I thought was really interesting about the beginning of this movie is that the first 8 minutes of this film, there is no dialogue.
Yeah.
It's all this montage of sort of Tarzan's origin story. And we get Phil Collins right off the bat with Two Worlds, One Family. And we have the arrival montage and having the comparisons with the gorillas as well, which is really cool. But then we have a baby gorilla being eaten by a leopard, which is horrific. What a horrible thing to start with. Yeah, like, it's absolutely horrific.
Really dramatic with the burning ship, you know. And like you said, it's really action heavy and not so wordy. How did you handle that? You know, because I know you like a good wordy kind of.
Oh, look, I love a montage. Script. You know how I love a montage. So it's just a really effective way to get things going. But it is similar to.
Yeah, it did. It really, it really covered quite a lot of things happening.
You know
in
what it reminded me of? It reminded me of Up, because Up does the same thing. We have like 8 minutes or 12 minutes or however long the start of Up is, where there's no dialogue and there's just music and we see the unfolding of the story, which I think is really cool.
You know what it reminds me of?
Tell me.
It reminds me of a movie that came well after that, WALL-E, because that spent huge amounts of time without any dialogue in the story, and yet it was still able to, you know, convey, you know, all the messages that it needed to convey. And to me, that's an outstanding example of how you can show the story with action and less words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes it more universal too, I suppose. Yeah. You don't need to hear things. That's why people like Charlie Chaplin and stuff were so great, because they're such effective storytellers without needing to speak.
Plus, I guess if you got Phil Collins singing in the background, you don't want anything cutting in and out
absolutely
of that.
Absolutely not.
You
know, that was like probably in his rider. Yeah. In his stipulations.
Yeah, and they build a hut in the forest, and the little gorilla gets separated from his family, and there's all sorts of stuff happening
in
there.
So we have like two concurrent storylines running at the same time, which is Tarzan and his parents and the gorilla.
The little baby gorilla.
With their, I don't know if they're a boy or a girl, with their parents, with Kerchak and what's the mum's name? Sabor is the leopard. Kerchak's the dad. He's the main the main gorilla.
Turk?
No. No, Turk's the little one.
Kerchak.
Carla. That's the female.
Ah, right, yeah.
That's the female gorilla.
Voiced by Glenn Close.
Voiced by Glenn Close, absolutely, yeah. So we have the two storylines running
at the
same time.
Not that she says a whole lot, I don't think, in the whole...
Oh, she does.
Not in the first
8 minutes.
No.
And while this gorilla is grieving the loss of her baby, which is absolutely horrific, she hears crying from another spot, and off she goes and she finds baby Tarzan, and we see Tarzan's parents' dead bodies laying in the middle of the thing, and their footprints, which are like all bloody, these bloody footprints, and then their dead bodies, which we don't focus on, but we can see them in the background, and Tarzan crying. And then we get this brilliant visual of the leopard's tail drop and swings, and we know, something bad's coming.
Yeah, and I think like having the death on screen is probably something that they move away from in Disney following this movie. You know, they sort of infer, or there's a falling death or something like that. That kind
classic
of
Disney falling death,
you know, where they fall into, you know, a nothingness or the abyss, and you don't actually see them die or their dead body.
We have a falling death in this movie too, except it's far more graphic.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
far more graphic.
It's like they dialed up the graphics on this
absolutely.
One.
Absolutely. So Kerchak doesn't want to keep this baby. That's when we start to get dialogue. So after Carla brings Tarzan back, they've escaped from Sabor, they've brought him back, teeny tiny little baby, and Kerchak does not want to keep him.
No.
Because he's not their baby.
He's not their baby, and he's not even their species.
No.
And so, he even goes on, we have a bit of a time hop, and then Tarzan's about 5 years old, and Turk befriends Tarzan, but Kerchak says that Tarzan will never be one of them.
Yeah.
You know, after there's a huge elephant stampede that's essentially Tarzan's fault. But we've got that sort of key character is ostracized from the group by the alpha male kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does set Tarzan up to be a very sympathetic character, and it does set Kerchak up to be a bit of a douche.
Yeah. Now, I wrote down something interesting here.
Tell me.
Lucky the gorillas speak English.
Very lucky.
So we've had this conversation before, haven't we, about how in this movie it's just funny because Tarzan sort of learns to speak English really well.
Mm-hmm.
We see the gorillas speak English prior to the other humans arriving. And
obviously, they're not actually speaking English. They're speaking gorilla language that's been translated for us so that we can hear it. We can understand it.
I understand.
What do you want them to do? Ooh, 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 ooh.
Yeah,
for like
subtitles.
25 minutes?
Subtitles.
Oh, goodness me. So, but we do establish in this early part that Tarzan is very good at mimicking. He can mimic sounds
this
really
is true.
Well.
Yep, to be fair.
So I think that when he learns to speak English, does he learn to speak English? He's just mimicking. At the start,
when
he's just
when the humans come, he kind of learns to speak English very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more than just me, Tarzan, you, Jane sort of stuff, which is
it
the
starts
old
like
classic,
that.
But it's, you know, he can enter into a conversation. But anyway, if we overlook that and focus on the story.
That's the part that you've got a problem with. That's part of the story.
Yeah. Anyway, look, it's we get some really great, once he befriends Turk or vice versa, that they have a very playful time together, which is great. You know, we see a lot of that fun kind of, and almost that Bambi-esque thing of when mm-hmm. they're young and they kind of exploring the world yeah. and finding out new things.
And we get another montage of like learning to be a gorilla.
Yeah. Yeah.
And growing up.
Yep. So, all the moving through the forest and mm-hmm. the, you know, and then we have another time hop as well. And we go zoop up to about 18 years old.
Probably,
he's probably about that. Yeah,
maybe 21.
Well, yeah. Yep. He's a man. He's a dude.
Yeah.
He's a dude. He's a, what's that peak? What did you say? Peak
physical prowess. You know what? He is a man, but you know what he doesn't have?
Chest hair.
Or facial hair. Like, wouldn't he have a beard? He's not shaving in the jungle.
No, he's not shaving in the jungle. So,
anyway.
Yeah.
Is Let's that
the
not
part that you
down.
Can't get, honey?
Let's not get bogged down on specifics here.
It is funny, though, like, isn't it, how they strategically, I reckon, strategically overlook some certain aspects of you know,
there
of,
is not
of
a
reality.
Single hair on his body apart from his, like, dreadlocky things that he's got on his yeah. head. Not one single hair.
And for
and
a
not
guy who lives
mark.
In the jungle, he's pretty clean.
Yeah, and not one single mark, not a scratch, not
no
a scar,
scars, nah.
nothing. Nah. It's just perfection.
Yeah.
So after we've had this growing up, we have another encounter with Sabor the leopard.
Mm.
And I have a question for you. How old is this leopard? Because what is the life expectancy of a leopard? Because this Tarzan was a baby and we had this leopard.
Yeah.
And now Tarzan is an adult, a full-grown adult, and we're still with the leopard.
So you're looking about
we're looking
13
at
years
least...
onward.
Yeah. Oh, no, he was a baby
yeah.
at the start. So
was he around when
like
he was 5,
years?
Though? Or was it...
Oh, I'm sure he was.
No.
So I'm wondering, is this the same leopard?
Yeah.
Or is this a new leopard?
I guess it could be.
Like a what's the word I'm looking for? Like a son and
yeah,
down
next,
the
next generation.
Yeah, the next generation of leopard.
That's a good question. Well, actually, maybe it is the same one, and he's a bit older, and maybe that's part of the reason why Tarzan's able to defeat him, because Tarzan's reaching his peak, you know, physical
prowess,
and the what is he
a leopard?
A leopard. And the leopard's sort of reaching his older age, and he's not quite so, you know, peak prowess.
Yeah. So I've just done a quick Google, and for those of you playing at home, the average life expectancy of a leopard is 10 to 12 years in the wild.
Really?
Yeah, and up to 23 years in captivity. So that means that this has got to be at least two generations on of leopard.
Yeah, stands to reason.
Yeah.
It's not the same
It's
leopard.
Not the same leopard. Well, I suppose it would stand to reason that there's more than one leopard in the whole jungle, but they do refer to it as Sabor, like it's the same one, but maybe it's a...
Is Sabor like... an Indonesian word for
leopard
or something.
I don't know. If you know where that comes from.
Yeah, maybe because I'm just like, where would they get that name from? But maybe that's, maybe, you know, I'm saying Indonesian because I know they have tigers
jungles.
And leopards and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and jungles.
Yep.
So,
Oh, well, they're definitely in the Asian jungles, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. They're not in Africa. They're definitely in the Asian jungles with the gorillas and the leopard and everything, so.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. Mm. Tarzan defeats this leopard this time.
Yeah.
And our villain, the big villain of the movie, is killed in the first 25 minutes of the film.
Yeah.
So Tarzan proves himself and offers the leopard up to Kerchak, like, here, I've saved you.
Yeah.
I've saved our
It's like
people.
A prize.
Yeah.
And then he does his classic Tarzan shriek. Oh!
That's much better than the one that you did.
I did some chest beating then.
But that is interrupted by this gunshot. We hear a gunshot in the distance and everyone's sort of distracted, which is the first time that we have any inclination that there might be other people in this area. And where Tarzan has put the leopard on the ground, it magically disappears in about 30 Yay. Minutes. So if you're watching the movie...
I wrote down, where did the cheetah go?
Where did the leopard go? No one knows. Leopard. Yeah. No one knows where the leopard went.
Where did the leopard go? And if you want to have a look, it's at 30 minutes and 30 seconds. Yeah. You can clearly see the leopard has disappeared.
Into...
And it's like, how did they let that slip through to the keeper? You know,
I don't know.
It's a strange one.
It is a weird one. And we jump to the other people that have just arrived
yeah,
at the island, being Jane and her father and Clayton.
So, yeah, Miss Porter and her father, I guess Mr. Porter and Clayton, Mr. Clayton.
Mr. Clayton, yeah. We don't know what, to my knowledge, we don't know what Jane's dad's name is. She just calls him Daddy.
Yeah, and Mr. Clayton refers to him as Mr. Porter.
Mr. Porter.
Yeah.
So they're there because they're studying gorillas and they're trying to find gorillas. Yeah,
they're naturalists.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so Jane is walking around with her sketchbook looking to draw things. Clayton's got a big gun. So he's there as sort of their security, like their protection, isn't he? He's not there to actually do anything.
No, he's just there to protect them. That we really know
of, yep.
Yeah, it's that classic expedition into the jungle. You need somewhere to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then Jane gets attacked by a massive troop of baboons.
Can we share the story that this reminds me of?
Yeah.
So if you know the part of the movie that we're talking about, it's they're in the forest and Jane sees his teeny tiny little baby monkey, baboon, tiny little thing, and he steals her sketchbook and he's ripping pages out because she was drawing him. Yeah. And he finds a picture of him and he's looking at it and she wants it back, so she gets it off him, and then all of a sudden you see this horde of adult baboons that because the little baby baboon is crying because he wants his picture back, and this horde of baboons, and she turns and then there's a huge, massive baboon chase.
Yeah.
So about...
We love a good chase scene in Disney movies.
Yeah.
So you can't have a Disney movie without a chase scene.
No, absolutely not. There's a few in this movie.
Yeah, there is.
So about... Oh, what year was it? What year did we go? 2017, maybe?
Yeah.
2017, Brett and I, we went to Bali. If you've ever been to Bali, it's a wonderful place. Great place. Yep. We had really good time. And we went to a lovely little place called Ubud. And in Ubud, there is a world-renowned monkey forest.
Mm.
And basically, the monkeys are all in there and you go there and you can feed the monkeys.
They're sort of semi-wild.
No, they're wild. They're wild monkeys.
Like, you know.
But they're just comfortable around people.
Yeah.
So, but they're wild monkeys. This is not like a petting zoo or anything.
No, they're not trained or anything.
They're the wild monkeys.
It's a sanctuary, so
sure, yeah. So when you think about monkeys, like I was thinking about them, it's like, oh, that sounds really fun. Like, monkeys are cute.
Yeah.
Let's go to the monkey forest.
Yeah.
Monkeys are not cute. Monkeys are terrifying. When you're there and there's all these monkeys and all of a sudden it hits you that these are wild animals.
It's with teeth.
With
and
teeth
stuff,
and claws. And they far outnumber me. Like, there's a
and
whole lot of them.
They can run faster than you, honey.
Absolutely. Well, it's not difficult, but, you know, it's absolutely terrifying. So I didn't want any bar of the monkeys. And when you go in, they give you very strict instructions, which is don't have anything on your head, glasses, a headband, nothing on your head. The monkeys will try and take it. If you've got a bag, make sure that it's got a zip.
Yeah.
Don't have a plastic bag.
Nothing loose.
Nothing loose and not a plastic bag because the people that are in there selling the food for the monkeys have plastic bags and the monkeys know that plastic bags means food.
Yeah.
So there are all these rules and when we went in, we were like, yeah, right, we were following the rules. We had everything was put away. We didn't have any food on us. It was great. And then we went in and there are little shops in there. And what did you do, Brett?
Oh, well... The shopkeeper gave me a bag for my singlet that I bought.
Your Bintang singlet.
Bintang. And then only about 5 minutes later, the monkey started attacking me.
Not just one. There was more than one monkey that went after this bag, wasn't there?
Yeah, and I got bitten.
Yes.
Bitten by the monkeys.
Bitten and drawn blood. Like, blood was drawn. It was proper bites. So we're in the middle of Bali, in the middle of this monkey forest, thinking, well, we're going to have to go to the hospital now. Like, these are going to be rabid. These are going to be rabid monkeys and you're going to die. We're going to have to spend 3 days in the hospital getting pumped with antibiotics or whatever we need. And it was quite scary. But we went to the first aid tent. Oh, and by the way, Brett did relinquish the singlet and the plastic bag.
Yeah.
Because you fought them for it
first. I'm still dark on those monkeys for that.
You did try and fight them for it
there's,
first.
There's some monkey out there wearing my Bintang singlet.
Nah, he just brought it back to the shopkeeper. It was a whole farce the whole time. And as it turns out that the monkeys were, well, they told us that they're all clean and everything and you're not dead yet. And that's been a few years. So
I survived.
But it did remind me of that scene of thinking, oh, monkeys are so cute. That's so nice. And then all of a sudden it's like, no, they're not.
When they turn on you.
Absolutely.
It's a bit scary.
And who saves Jane from the baboons?
Tarzan swings in. Oh, doo-doo-doo.
How many times are you going to make that sound differently every time?
And they have a lovely moment where they exchange names.
Well, they do the hand thing where she puts her hand up and he puts his hand up and they like touch hands.
Yeah, it's a really sort of loving sort of moment. Yeah.
So. And we see him mimic her then too, her speech and everything.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's pretty, it goes into sort of a very fun and playful kind of bit where that's where he gets, you know, schooled in English.
I do love the trash in the camp montage because it sort of breaks up the whole thing and we get that very sort of percussive sound of Turk and the elephants and whatnot destroying their campsite because they've stumbled upon it. Like, oh, this is cool.
While they're doing this, they're kind of banging bits and pieces together, pots and pans, and it basically turns into a percussive musical song. And it's actually quite rompy and fun.
Yeah,
you know?
It's great. It's great because up until, like, it's been pretty serious and pretty full on and high stakes. Yeah. And then now it's just, you know, crashing and bashing and it's really cool.
And so Jane, her dad and Mr. Clayton return and the camp is trash, but they befriend Tarzan and they show him pictures of life outside the jungle using some like moving pictures and photographic books and
that's
things like that.
The Strangers Like Me montage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they work out that Tarzan is one of the gorillas.
Yeah.
That you know, they say he's one of them when they see him interacting with Turk. So when they see him interacting with Turk and like he's one of them, he knows them. So they then work out that Tarzan can take them to the gorillas. He knows where they are and he can take them there. And Clayton is very, very...
Well, Clayton insists that he's going to take them to the gorillas at some point.
Yeah.
You know, using Tarzan. But Tarzan sort of says that he can't really because of Kerchak.
Mm-hmm.
He's, you know, he's worried about him. So
they go home.
Yeah, so
they're on their way home.
Yeah, it sort of it basically comes down to that. Well, they're not going to get to see the gorillas.
They've run out of time. Yeah, the boat's here to pick them up.
The boat's here to pick them up, and so they're going to leave. And then Tarzan kind of changes his mind and goes, "Oh, look."
Jane wants Tarzan to go with them.
Yeah,
to go back to England with them.
Yeah. And so Jane sort of chooses to stay with Tarzan. All the while you have Clayton, he's hatching this plan in the background.
Yeah, because Tarzan's like, Tarzan takes them all to go and see the gorillas.
Yeah.
Clayton and Jane and Jane's father to go and see them.
And all the while Clayton wants to basically collect up as many gorillas as he can and take them back to, I'm presuming, like, maybe England or something like
that's
that.
That's where they came from. So yeah, maybe this is
a zoo or... You know, to sell them to zoos and things like that. So he's like in it for the money.
Mm-hmm.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
And when Tarzan takes them to go and see the gorillas, they're all, and you know, there's they work at, you know, they live in family groups and they can see their nests and everything. They are all very, very relaxed for being around animals that will 100% rip your face off in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, these are big gorillas.
Yeah.
And then Kerchak sees that Tarzan's brought him here. He's really angry and he's like, you know, losing it. And there is absolutely no way that Tarzan could physically hold Kerchak back if he wanted to rip the faces off those people. There's no way.
No. Nah.
But he in the movie, it looks like he's, you know, holding him back and no, 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 it's okay. And but there's no way that he could really do that.
Power to weight ratio.
Yeah. Which is when Carla takes him back to the treehouse to show him that actually this is where you came from.
Mm.
You know, the treehouse where his parents were killed and, you know, this is where you came from and these are people like you. So maybe you should go with them.
Mm.
because you don't belong here.
Yeah, look, I'm surprised we didn't see the bones of his dead parents there, to be honest. Like,
after everything else that we've seen.
Yeah.
But, of course, it's a trap.
Yeah.
When Tarzan goes to go with Jane and Daddy back
Daddy.
To... it reminds me of Jack Whitehall, doesn't it? Yeah. Daddy.
Daddy.
Back to England, it's a trap and... Clayton
locks him on the ship, locks him up.
Because he's going to go back and get the gorillas now.
Yep.
Yeah, because he knows where they are, because Tarzan's showed him.
And he's got a whole bunch of people on the ship who are going to, steal these gorillas away.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Tarzan goes back, he gets out and goes back to save the gorillas.
Yeah. All right, there's a big scuffle.
A big scuffle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we have a huge fight scene. Gorillas, men, cages, swinging, clubbing, bashing, guns.
Shooting, yeah. Because Clayton shoots Kerchak.
Mm.
He gets him. Gets him with the gun.
Yep.
And that upsets Tarzan.
Which is pretty sad.
It is really sad to have the sort of patriarch of the whole...
Yeah.
The whole family group going down like that.
You know, it's not often you have... gun deaths in Disney movies.
No, being shot is a really unusual one.
But this is sort of another example of where this movie is kind of a bit out of the box on that.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of its sensitivity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kerchak's not dead yet, though. He will die, spoiler alert, but he's not dead yet.
Yeah.
Then we have a big battle in the trees. And this is really, really cool, where Clayton and Tarzan are in the treetops and, fighting it out.
Because they're kind of physically both... Although Clayton's, obviously
older,
but he's still quite, got good physical prowess.
He's a big guy.
So they're actually a bit of a match for each other.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Quite a reasonable match
quite
for
a,
each other.
A reasonable physical match. Yeah. However, Tarzan knows these trees.
Yeah, it's his
and,
home.
We see Clayton get tangled up in all the vines.
Yeah.
That are hanging and they're around his arms, around his legs and around his neck, which is
dun,
really
dun,
important
dun.
Because that's when we have our Disney
falling death.
And he falls and we don't see him, but then there's like a lightning, thunder, ba-boom, and you see the silhouette of him hanging
by his neck
from
the vines.
It's just horrific. It's
graphic. It's really... out of the box.
It's really full on. Like, I have not seen anything before from a Disney movie like that, and I've not seen anything since.
Yeah.
That's like, it's really, really... I don't have the senses let them do that in a PG movie or whatever this ended up. Maybe it's
I think,
G. I don't know what it's rated.
You know, to me, what it sort of... The line that it goes down is just like, Tarzan fought him, but Tarzan didn't... kill him.
No, the jungle got him.
There was no malice from Tarzan.
Yeah.
It still, I guess, allows the audience to sort of believe that the hero has sort of a moral sort of ground where he's sticking up for his friends, but he's not a killer.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to, maliciously kill someone. But the jungle gets him.
The jungle
gets Clayton.
Yeah.
And, even still, it's pretty horrific way to die.
It's
to
incredibly
fall to a
horrific.
Neck-snapping death.
It's incredibly horrific. And just the implication that has happened is enough. Then to see it, like to see the silhouette of him hanging is just...
Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah.
It's really awful.
Yeah.
So
Tarzan sort of... if that wasn't enough for him, he gets back to Kerchak just as he dies.
Yeah. But Kerchak says, take care of them, my son.
Yeah.
And it's the first time that he's acknowledged Tarzan as like him, as his family and his son.
Yeah. He is one of them.
Yeah, he is one of them. Absolutely. Which is a nice, heartwarming moment after we've just seen someone horrifically hanged.
Yeah.
And then Jane and Daddy... decide to stay, and they all stay and live with the gorillas.
Yeah, Tarzan leads the other gorillas off into the jungle.
Yeah.
Which signifies that he's now the leader.
Yeah.
And then I guess the prologue is that Jane and Daddy are going to head off, and then they just go, nah, we just love it here in the jungle so much that we can't go back to sunny old England.
Do you think that Jane's staying because she's in love with Tarzan?
That's an interesting question, because this movie kind of, you know, there's definitely
some... Do we have a kiss? Is there a kiss in this movie? I don't remember. Oh,
I can't remember.
I didn't write it down.
I didn't write it down.
No.
Yeah, I think maybe that's the open question there. Because there's sort of an adoration between the two of them.
Yeah. Oh, there's definitely, I think in other versions of Tarzan, yeah. there's definitely a love story.
Yes.
And there's definitely hints of that in this.
But it's not really explored too much. They're too busy killing off characters with, you know, vicious deaths.
In horrific ways.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess it's a fun, happy ending in a way.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Nice little romp. Nice little romp in the jungle. All right. So then... Do you want to say anything else?
Oh, it's a terrific setup for a sequel.
Great film. Watch it with your kids. Don't watch this one with your kids.
Don't steal my lines.
Don't watch this one with your kids. Maybe wait until they're a bit older because you might have some questions that you need to answer.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Like, where do gorillas come from?
Yeah, that's it. All right. So how many elephant hairs would you give this?
Elephant
movie?
Hairs? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Look, I was really entertained.
Mm-hmm.
And for a movie that's 20 years old, I was super impressed with that level of detail.
Oh, it's beautiful.
In the production value, the animation, mm-hmm. you know, superb. Even like today, to watch a 20-year-old anything, you know, it was excellent.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful film.
Story-wise, yeah, it was confronting and it was, you know, a bit chilling at spots, which... You know, it's not a bad thing necessarily because it's rare to get a movie that makes you go, oh my God, you know, like to make you sort of stop and go, oh did that really just happen?
Yeah. Did I just watch that in an animated feature film?
So parental guidance recommended.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would definitely put it up there given that it probably wasn't a topic that I was necessarily like super keen to watch.
Mm-hmm.
It was really captivating. And I'd have to give it probably 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10 elephant hairs?
Yeah, it's definitely out there. It's got a good amount of humour in there, a lot of chase scenes, a lot of action. A
lot of montages.
A lot of montages. You know, it's got good guys, bad guys, the whole lot. Mm-hmm. So I reckon 8 out of 10.
Excellent.
And, how many leopard spots would you give
it? Oh, leopard spots. I will give this movie... Seven out of 10 leopard spots. If I was just rating the soundtrack, it's 10 out of 10 leopard spots.
Yeah, I didn't mention the soundtrack. Yeah.
You know, it's...
Yeah, Phil Collins sings.
Yeah, Phil Collins sings. It's...
Phil Collins is Tarzan.
Yeah, well, I just think that it's... The music is so, so good, and that's what really carries it through. And it's really interesting that you have a movie that is a musical movie, but the characters don't sing.
Yeah.
So all of the music is underscored throughout the whole thing. It's Phil Collins singing it. It's not the characters singing it.
And whereas, Phil Collins is a really unique voice.
Oh, this is the Phil show.
The Phil show.
So I think seven. But that's not the fault of... Because visually, the movie is stunning.
Mm.
The art, the backdrops, it's amazing. The music is incredible. The story is okay. But that's not Disney's fault. That's Edgar Rice Burroughs' fault.
It's fine.
So maybe I'm being a bit harsh.
They've got to do justice to the original story.
Absolutely.
But they've also got to make it palatable, you know.
Yeah. The original story's fine.
Yeah.
It's just something that... It's a story that, you know, has been done. But maybe that's because it's Tarzan and... It has been done.
Well, it's definitely been done.
Yeah. But, you know, it's fine. It's not one of my favourite Disney movies, but it's... I'd forgotten how good the music was until I rewatched it and I went, oh my gosh, this is... Every song is a banger.
I wonder if you were to watch it without the volume on, like how that would change the movie. Like,
you can watch any movie without the volume on and it's going to change the
movie. You know what I mean? Like, if you didn't have the soundtrack, you had the characters talking, but you didn't have the soundtrack. And I just wonder how...
Oh, so without the music.
Yeah. I just wonder how bad...
How
boring the movie would be.
The other thing is that, like, character-wise, like, Tarzan's fine. Jane is annoying. She's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I love that yellow outfit that she wears when she first arrives there, because it just shows you how absolutely
dainty.
Not equipped she was to be in this environment.
Yeah.
But she's just, like, she's annoying. And Clayton's, like, a bad guy, but he's not that, he's not memorable. He's not a memorable villain.
I guess how old would you pitch Jane at?
Same as Tarzan, I would imagine. She'd be in her early 20s. No, yeah. I would think she'd be in her early 20s.
Because often those ingenue roles are that early teens, actually, if you look at them. There's like 13, 14, 15, 16 age.
Yeah.
A lot of the Disney princesses in that.
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe Jane's character is a bit childish and, you know, because she is so young.
You know what? You know
she's
what?
Not like a 20-something-year-old.
I would say she is. I would think that she is in her early 20s.
Does anyone know?
I mean, it would be in the original source material. Yeah. We could probably look it up. But I think that she is in her early 20s.
Yeah.
Maybe late teens at an absolute push, but I think early 20s, and I think Tarzan's probably in his early to mid-20s.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was just thinking about the character of Jane, and this is probably Disney's first sort of foray into that really sort of quirky female character that they do a lot of now.
Yeah.
Like the Anna's, the Mirabelle's, the, you know, those really sort of, she's the quirky girl. And Jane is probably the first... or one of the first Disney female characters, Disney female leads, that really took on that role. Because the other female characters in the movies up until then, you know, in the Renaissance era were the princesses. Mm. You know, we had Ariel, we had Belle, we had Jasmine, who were not the, you know, cute, quirky, talkative, you know,
I think the one clumsy thing that they do have in common with those original ones is there's a... naivety to them.
Yeah.
You know, Jane has a naivety.
That, oh, absolutely.
That kind of... is a stark contrast to the place that she's in, you know, which is quite a serious predicament in the middle of the jungle surrounded by killing animals. Yeah. You know, like
that she is not worried about at all. No, like, she should be worried about these animals.
She's not the apex predator in that jungle.
She is not at her peak physical prowess. No, not at all. All right. So do you have anything else you want to add?
Nah.
No?
Nah. Parental guidance recommended.
Absolutely.
But you could. Watch it with your kids.
Yeah, just be prepared to have some difficult conversations potentially at the end of it.
I just want to say one more thing.
Okay,
yeah. So just for the viewers out there who don't know, we watched this movie about 2 or 3 weeks ago, was it?
Yeah. Oh, it's probably about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and so we kept the notes, and half of our notes, we don't even know what they mean. But it's been a fun episode.
I have seen this movie, but you've seen this movie before.
Oh,
yeah, you've seen Tarzan.
Yeah, bits and pieces.
You hadn't seen it in its entirety.
I hadn't sat down to watch the whole thing. No.
Gosh, you're just learning new things all the time, aren't you?
Yeah.
All right. So thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in to our first episode of 2022, first episode of season 3. We're really excited to be back, and hopefully we can pump out the episodes a little bit more regularly in season 3 than we did in season 2.
Once we can get the baby to sleep.
Yeah, then we're on. We're on to it. But thank you so much for tuning in. Please go and like our Facebook and Instagram page to keep up with all of our news and to see clues on upcoming episodes. We'd really appreciate it. You can also rate and review us on iTunes because it really helps people find the podcast. And do you know on Spotify, Spotify has introduced a feature now where you can rate podcasts as well.
What?
You can't review them, but you can rate them. So
head on over.
If you're listening on Spotify, give us a little 5-star click and we'd really, really, really appreciate it.
Yeah.
So thank you so much. You can listen to Brett's other podcast, Teaching for Dummies, wherever you find your podcasts. And
you're shaking your head as you say that.
No, it's like don't actually though. Just listen to ours. Just listen to ours. So counts towards our listeners. And I think that's all.
Yeah. Thanks again to Emily for providing us with a wonderful logo for this season.
Yeah. Oh, that's one more thing I forgot to say. If you do happen to go on iTunes and leave us a nice review, we will shout you out on an upcoming episode. So if that is some incentive for you, we would really appreciate it.
Awesome.
All right. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.